advocacy. From I'm Not Sure How We Did to We Blew Them Away, Chapter 10. By now, you have an incredible arsenal to really make things happen. This chapter bundles much of your learning into a persuasive package. The goal of this mighty package is to bring outside support into your organization. Advocacy is like buy-in on the wider scale. Whereas before you were persuading people individually, now you're trying to persuade larger groups to support you. Persuading the world is a little bit trickier than persuading your organizational buds because you have less in-depth knowledge of what makes each individual tick. The key to advocacy is to communicate in a universally loved manner. Here you will learn to do just that. With networking, you made the initial contact. With savvy, you made a sparkling first impression. With advocacy, you complete the operation. You'll get what your organization needs from the other guy. Whether you seek commitments from new members or cash, you'll be better equipped to request it powerfully after reading this chapter. Specifically, you'll learn the universal key of successful influence. Two quick tips to get people saying yes. How to prepare knockout presentations. The four most common presentation errors. The key to all influence. Zig Ziglar expresses, you can get anything you want if you help enough other people get what they want. In another vein, Dale Carnegie concludes, there's only one way to get people to do something, and that is to make them want to do it. While these quotations take two different angles, bringing them together provides the heart of advocacy. Together, they represent the primary lens through which you should view every advocacy opportunity. You should constantly ask yourself the question, what do they want? How does what I'm saying assist them in obtaining it? Questioning in this manner is the fundamental paradigm shift of advocacy. Most driven leaders experience their drive because of an unwavering focus on the goal, what the organization needs. By focusing on themselves, however, they neglect considering what will ultimately bring about success, helping out the other guy. Get into the groove of habitually asking what the other guy wants. Then meet that need. You may have noticed that many businesses follow this pattern, as indicated in their solution-oriented language. Have you observed that you have many opportunities to purchase solutions rather than stuff that you wanted to buy? For example, if you're looking for a laptop, you may find advertisements for integrated mobile computing solutions. While their language is silly, their intent is valid. Businesses are trying to solve problems, not shove random wares upon you. You could do well to emulate their approach, but not their weird verbiage. Before going into an advocacy scenario, ask yourself or them, what do they want? How can we be their integrated solution? That's the 1-2 combo that gets the job done. Stephen Covey put it best. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Grabbing yeses. Dale Carnegie provides two additional powerful tips in his classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The first he calls the Secret of Socrates, which consists of having the other person start saying yes, yes. Remember the consistency concept we discussed in the buy-in chapter? Well, it can also work against you. When people say no, they're committing themselves to a course of action that they don't care to leave. People stop listening to all of your words and need to be extraordinarily dazzled in order to reverse their track. Similarly, when you get them on the track of saying yes, they want to continue along that track. So open up with some no-brainer questions. For example, if you're raising money for a charitable cause, your first question in the conversation might be, would you like to see hundreds of impoverished Africans have access to clean drinking water? Well, of course! What heartless person could say no? Additionally, you should also strive to refrain from denying people. Instead of telling people that their perspectives are wrong, just ask questions that should evoke a yes response. Choosing questions over statements was at the heart of the Socratic method. Mr. Carnegie also suggests that we allow other people to feel like they came up with the course of action that you propose. Rather than attempting to force your way through, step back and ask the person for his or her opinion. Instead of saying, "We want to sell stuff in your facility on Friday," go ahead and ask, how do you think we could optimally collaborate? People tend to have more fun executing the ideas that they conceived. Furthermore, they feel flattered when you ask for their input and opinions. You're saying you value their thoughts. To summarize Dale's two tips, talk less and ask more. Stages of presentations. So, you've identified what your audience wants and set the stage with excellent questions. Often, after informal arrangements are made, you may need to communicate in a more formal fashion. Crafting successful presentations calls for several stages: perspectives, content, practice, priming, and delivery. If you think thoroughly through each stage, you'll deliver amazing presentations. Perspectives. It all starts with your frame of mind. Make sure that you start crafting presentations from a great place of mind. Positivity and performance are the two key words to have in mind. Positivity. Pour the enthusiasm you have for your organization into your presentation from the onset. Even if you don't want to provide a particular presentation, put yourself in a positive mental state. It will permeate your whole presentation creation process from the material you select to your delivery. Counteract potential dread you're experiencing by focusing on the presentation you're giving and how it will enrich your organization. Performance. Think of your presentations as performances. I don't mean that you should have every word that you plan to say memorized. Indeed, that can often sound unnatural and weird. But consistently viewing the presentation as a performance, like theater or music, is a powerful way to remind you of a couple important things, such as there are real people who will be listening. These are not automatons that merely process information and make decisions. They're just as likely to be bored listening to you as you are listening to them. You only get one shot to dazzle. Once the curtain opens, you're on stage, so be ready to nail it well the first time. Don't mess up your lines. So demand excellence and make it sizzle like Broadway. As you learn from Mr. Carnegie and Mr. Ziegler, people are most concerned with their concerns and questions. Some put it by suggesting that everyone listens to the same radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? This perspective may seem a bit cynical, but you should hold the other party's interests in mind the whole time as you're working to create your masterpiece. From this premise, you can begin crafting your content. Whether using PowerPoint slides or simple notes or Keynote, be careful not to go overboard. People really do not want to hear you read to them. Do not put tons of text on PowerPoint slides. Indeed, if your font size goes below 14 point, your audience probably can't even read it. Also, do not write out every word of your speech on note cards. Prepare your materials so they serve as reminders or little prompts throughout, but not a whole script to be read. Great presentations often take the form hook. Loosen them up and get them interested in what you have to say. Overview. Previewing your content, letting people know what to expect so they don't ever get lost or confused during the course of the speech. Content. Content is the actual meat. Keep it engaging and limit yourself to the 2 to 4 key points you provided them in the overview. Review. Finally, recap the points that you made and make your specific request crystal clear. Such a structure builds off of an interesting phenomenon in human memory. People remember the points they heard first and last more than any other points. Psychologists call this the primacy effect and the recency effect. Make your most powerful, persuasive points at the beginning and the end. Practice. As your performance perspective probably suggested, you should take the time to refine and practice your presentation. Many speakers deliver their first real-time presentation when they are in front of their whole audience. Don't do that. Speaking out loud while standing is very different than thinking the words inside your head. I'm awesome in my head every time. Inside my head, there are no uhs or ums. Yet the first time I speak the words, it doesn't sound nearly as good. So don't let the first time you speak be performance time. To increase the realism of your rehearsal experience, start with a mirror. Are you glued to your notes? See how often you're capable of looking up for eye contact. See if you were doing anything that looks funny. After the mirror stage, try practicing with stuffed animals or other objects you can pretend are people. By having multiple objects that you can focus on, you can practice making eye contact with each person in the audience. Finally, do a full-blown dress rehearsal. Wear what you will wear at your event and make your practice surroundings match the event's atmosphere as closely as possible. This process builds powerful confidence. Videotape and review. Prime. First things first. Turn on the confidence. Flip back to the exercises in the networking and savvy chapters. Start pumping up your confidence as soon as you begin grooming yourself prior to presentation. Belt out powerful phrases in the shower, as though you were the ultimate speaker. Keep yourself pumped as you enter the car and get toward the event. Leave so that you can get there early. Being able to take your sweet time really deflates the stress associated with the environment. When you rush, you stress. Being there early gets you comfortably acclimated to your environment and gives you plenty of time to alter the setup to your liking. Indeed, strive to own your atmosphere. Get in the space that you will occupy and have your body claim it as your own. Adjust anything that needs adjusting. Make the room bend to you, not the other way around. If the microphone is too low, move it up. It's silly when speakers deliver a whole speech hunched over a microphone. Take a second to make it fit you perfectly. Similarly, if anything is obstructing your view or distracting, politely ask if you can move it. You're the star. Delivery. Have you ever heard someone speak, but it seemed like he wasn't really speaking to you? You may have been tempted to look around to see if there were other people hanging around. Learn from those times and bear in mind that normal human beings are looking and listening to you. Make the human connection. Eye contact is key for making that connection. If you are in a position to deliver information in a PowerPoint format, make sure to print out your slides so they're readable. Hard copies will liberate you from staring at your projection screen. At the same time, you can look like a head bobber or paper shuffler when operating with printouts. In order to avoid such shuffling, make your eyes work for you by following the three T's: take, turn, and tell. First, take the information you need. When a new slide pops up, go ahead and look at it if necessary. Looking at the slide will also reinforce the audience's natural inclination to stop looking at you and investigate what's new. Take about 3/4 of a second to internalize and prompt the knowledge that you're about to transfer. Turn to face the audience. After having gathered the slide's information, make sure that your whole body is facing the audience. This step is really the key one because many presenters talk to their slides instead of the audience. Many people have their bodies facing the audience, but their necks and heads face the projection screen. Don't do that. The projection screen doesn't appreciate your eye contact, but your audience yearns for it. Tell them your information. Sharing the information is the no-brainer. But now your eyeballs are liberated from the projection screen, so you can make good eye contact with your audience. As a general rule of thumb, you should make eye contact with individuals for almost 2 seconds, then move on to another individual. Such eye contact can be a little scary and tricky at first, so it's well worth practicing. Try it with your friends and family. When people realize, oh, he's looking at me, that must mean he's talking to me. They pay attention as though you were having a one-on-one conversation. That's powerful. By thinking of the delivery process in 3 distinct steps, you'll develop some muscle memory to get you into the habit of looking at the audience and not at your slides. The 4 most common errors. If all that seems like too much to remember, we'll narrow it down to just 4 points. Joanne Slutsky is a communication specialist who has watched hundreds of student presentations and coordinates a team of teachers' assistants who critique presentations. What follows are the 4 most common errors that students make. By avoiding these errors, you make a powerful impression. 1. Eye contact. Many students stare at their note cards, ceiling, slides, or a particular person in the audience. Ideally, know your speech so well that you don't need to use your visuals as crutches. Then, make that 2-second eye contact with different individuals. 2. Fidgeting. All too often, people do odd things with their hands, playing with their arms, ties, or pockets. Just keep your hands moderately expressive and out of your pockets. 3. Vocal issues. Make sure that you are speaking sufficiently loudly and slowly. Enunciate and project each word so the guys in the back can hear perfectly. 4. Filler words. Rehearse away all the ums, ahs, and likes, you knows. Record yourself and count the number of offenses. Recap. Focus on giving your target audience what they want. Tell less and ask more. Prepare your presentations thoroughly by conscientiously addressing the perspectives, content, practice, priming, and delivery steps. With such rich communication, you should attain victory in your persuasive challenges. Ask for feedback and seek to learn as much as possible from each performance. Speaking of learning, congratulations are in order. You've completed the leadership adventures through self, organization, and society. Now, we bring it full circle with